Good morning, everybody. I'm Blake Switzer, pastor, lead pastor here at Gateway, and we are continuing on, actually wrapping up today, this series. We've spent the last 2 months in a series called He Said What? Because there are some things that Jesus said that we look at and we're like, wow, difficult things. It's a hard look at the difficult sayings of Jesus, and the last 7 weeks, the thing that they've all had in common is they've been really hard things to swallow. And Jesus said things like, let the dead bury their own dead, and he talked about lust being the same as adultery, and it being easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's talked about divorce, he's talked about being hated, and much more. All those are difficult things for us to swallow because it's hard. They're hard things. Today's passage is also difficult for us to swallow, but for a different reason. Not because it is so hard, but because it's so good that we might wonder, can this really be true? See, after being beat up for 7 weeks, I felt like today is a good time to have one of those where you go, he said what? But in a good way, right? A little uplifting, like, wow, I can't believe he actually said that. That's so encouraging. So that's the direction we're going to go today. John chapter 14. Follow along with me, starting in verse 12. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So Jesus says in verse 12 that whoever believes in him will do the works that he's been doing and even greater things than these. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Jesus loved deeply. He taught with great authority. He performed more miracles than anyone could ever count. And yet he says to us that whoever believes in me will do these things and even greater things? Like he said, what? How could that be true? How could those of us who are just average, ordinary people, how could we do greater things than Jesus did? And let's begin by stating the obvious, because here's what I've learned, is that the obvious isn't always obvious, right? But let me just begin with this by saying, we're not talking about expecting a new and improved version of a Messiah, right? We're not talking about someone greater coming to supersede what Jesus has already done. We're not talking about waiting for our moment to inherit divine status. That's not at all what we're talking about here. But what we are talking about is what Jesus said, that even just regular people like us will achieve what he has been doing and then some. So how can that be true? Well, Jesus says the reason this is true is because at the end of verse 12, he says, because I'm going to the Father. Because he's going to the Father, we will carry on his work. And part of this is just simple math. When Jesus walked the earth, he was able to accomplish incredible things because he was God in human flesh. But when Jesus walked the earth, he was limited in time and space because he was God in human flesh. He was one person in one place at a time. And we'll talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit later today, who is not limited in that way. But Jesus said that I'm going to work through you. So, I mean, just think about it. You've got one person doing incredible things because this is God, or you've got hundreds of millions, perhaps even billions of people over a couple thousand years that he is empowering and working through. Of course, he's going to accomplish more through all those people who are scattered all over the world than he would be able to accomplish in his limited time, even though he was God in human flesh. And so we are part of that equation. We're part of that plan that Jesus has to continue on his work because he's returning to the Father. So there's that aspect of it in verse 12 that is just, you know, practically, physically, he will not be here anymore. He says, I'm going back to the Father. And of course, Jesus has a succession plan, right? He's not just starting something and then going to let it drop once he's gone. He knows what the plan will be after he's gone. And the plan is us. He's going to work through this, what he's talking about here. So that's part of it. Just, I'm not going to be around anymore. But there's something more to it when he says, because I'm going to the Father, and we'll get into this later on in the message today, that also means he's sending the Holy Spirit to us. So that's a little teaser. We'll come back to that in a moment. But that's where the real impact begins to come. So how does this become a reality? For us to say that normal people like you and like me, that God can do the things that Jesus was doing and even greater things through us, okay, how does that happen? And there are three things that I see in here that I want to share with you. And the first one, it has to start here, and that is that we trust in Jesus. In order for us to do the things he's been doing, we have to trust in him because we're not capable of doing it on our own. Jesus says this way, he says, whoever believes in me will do these things and greater things. The word belief, it's a verb form of the same word for faith. The noun form of that word is faith. So when you see belief and faith, those go together. Faith, I like the word trust just because it gives us something specific. When we use the word faith a lot in our culture, right? You just got to have faith. Faith in this, faith in that. Well, faith is really trusting in Jesus. So that's why I say we need to trust. We need to have faith, but trust in Jesus. To say that we believe in him is, it's not like saying I believe in ghosts or I believe in aliens. Now, this is not just, I believe that Jesus exists. And unlike believing in ghosts or aliens, there's actually an intellectual foundation for believing that Jesus exists. In fact, you cannot be an intellectually honest person and try to argue that Jesus did not ever exist. Now, you can try to make your argument, I would disagree with it, as you might imagine, that Jesus wasn't who he claimed to be, but any intellectually honest person has to admit Jesus walked the face of the earth. There's just so much evidence for that. So it's not just saying that. It's not just, oh, I believe that Jesus lived. It's not even just saying that I believe in Jesus in the sense that I have confidence in him. It's not like saying I believe in the Mavs, although maybe some of us are believing in the Mavs right now. It's a good thing. Or I believe in the stars. No, not like that. Not I have confidence in them that they may be able to accomplish something. Because here's the thing. I'll be following them and I'll be cheering them on, both teams, and I hope that they win championships. But my life doesn't depend on whether they win or not, right? I'm not going to mortgage my home and bet everything that I have in my life on them coming through and doing what I hope that they will be able to do. That's different. And yet, with Jesus, that's really kind of the case. I mean, we put everything in his hands. When we're saying we trust in him, I mean, it's like everything. All of our lives are in his hands. That's what it means to trust in him. You see, it's beyond just believing up here that he's real. It's beyond even believing the right information about him. You know, you can believe that he is God's son and that, you know, he is capable of rescuing us from our sinfulness. You can believe that, but it's another thing to actually trust him to be the one to rescue us. Everybody in here been to a circus at some point in your life? If you've been to a circus, good. If you haven't, you need to go to a circus. I mean, it's just one of those things. I don't know. Maybe you don't. But most of us have experienced that. And one of the things that pretty much every circus I've ever seen is they have trapeze artists, right? People that are flying way high up above everybody else and on their little trapeze. And we've got the, you know, the pictures of them doing this. And so you've got two people, the trapeze artists. You've got the flyer and you've got the catcher. The flyer is the one that gets going and then whoo, lets go and goes, you know, flipping through the air. And when they reach their highest point, the flyer has one job, and you see him doing that right here. As they begin to come down, their one job is to become as still as possible, hold their hands up in the air, and let the catcher catch them. That's the flyer's job. That's rule number one. If a flyer is trying to catch the catcher, it's going to confuse things, right? So the flyer's job is, I just stay as still as possible, and I trust the catcher to catch me. The catcher's job is to do this, that is to catch the flyer. Now, I've been to a lot of circuses where I've seen this happen. I have never seen a catcher drop a flyer. Have you? You ever seen that happen? So that's my experience is, and my belief is, that the catcher will always catch him. I believe that. But not to the point that I'm willing to put myself in that position and go flying through the air, holding out my arms, hoping that I get caught, right? I can watch it. I can say, I've seen it. I know what happens. I know that this person is capable. I know he knows how to do his job. He's going to catch him. But don't ask me to be the one to go flying through the air, about to plummet to my death, just hoping that somebody else catches me, right? That's faith. That's trust. It's beyond saying, I believe God can do this, to saying, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to go flying through the air. I'm going to throw my hands up, and I'm just going to be still. And I'm going to trust that God catches me. It has to move from just belief into action. It's not enough to believe that Jesus is God's son, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross to pay for our sins, that he rose from the dead in victory over sin, that he ascended back into heaven. Do you know that Satan believes all of those things to be true? Intellectually, he knows those things are true. That's not enough. At some point, you have to say, I'm yours, catch me. I'm going to trust you. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about trust. Romans 10:9 puts it this way. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe, or there's that word for faith again, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. See, those two are always connected. Believing or trusting in Jesus, having faith in Jesus, and confessing him as Lord, those are connected. Can I just urge you, if you've not taken the step to trust him, I'm not talking about just believing the right step, but I'm saying if you haven't thrown your arms up and said, here I am, I'm putting everything in your hands, I'm trusting that you will save me, I'm confessing that I'm sinful, I'll never get there on my own, but God, would you catch me? If you've never done that, I can't urge you strongly enough, let today be the day that you trust. It's not enough just to know information. We have to come to a point of trust. But once we do that, the Bible says that it's this incredible news, is that we're made new. Jesus used the phrase being born again, because spiritually, it's like we're reborn spiritually. And then we begin this new life as followers of Christ, as believers. We sometimes use that phrase. But we continue to learn to believe. We continue to learn to trust. And just that's a daily thing. But Jesus says this about those who believe in verse 12. Did you notice this? It says, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do greater things than these. Whoever. Whoever is all-inclusive. See, what some of us have come to believe is that, yeah, God can do great things through super spiritual people. There are some of those super Christians out there, and I know that God will work through them, but I'm just an average person, and I still struggle, and I'm not particularly special in any way, so surely God wouldn't do anything great through me, right? Some of you bought into that lie, and you believed that to be true. My question for you is, are you going to believe what Jesus says is true about you, or what you've convinced yourself is true? Because what Jesus says is true is really clear. He said, whoever believes in me will do these things and even greater things than these. That's really clear. What you think about yourself and what you think about your own ability, can I just be blunt with you and tell you, it really doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. What really matters is, do you believe that what Jesus said is true? However I feel about myself, if I think I'm limited or I think I'm incapable, but Jesus says that's not true, well, then it's not true. Because what he says is what really matters. So it starts with trust or belief, believing that Christ is who he says he is and surrendering to him, and then he'll do things through us. But then that leads me to the second thing, and that is that we pray intensely. The way Jesus put it in verse 13, he says, I will do whatever you, what's the word? I will do whatever you, say it with me. I will do whatever you ask in my name. See, that's why you have your Bible. You follow along with me there. I will do whatever you ask in my name. Ask means pray, right? If we're asking him to do something, then we're coming to him saying, that's another way for us to talk about prayer. The problem is, anybody besides me in the room have a hard time asking for help? I've admitted that before. Yeah, it's hard for me often to ask for help for several reasons. One, I want to prove to myself I can handle it, I can do it, but then I don't want to put other people out, I don't want to impose on other people. And there's a long list of reasons, right, why we don't like to ask for help. And there's this ongoing cycle in my life of what happens when I don't ask for help, especially in areas where I'm not particularly qualified. I've shared with you before, I'm not the most mechanically inclined person on the face of the earth. I've gotten a little better over time, and I'm not so afraid to try things anymore because YouTube's a wonderful thing. But here's what normally happens. Something breaks, and you know, so I think I can fix that. And so I'll spend a few hours working on it and get really, really frustrated, probably make the problem worse. And eventually, I'll say, I got to have help, and I'll call an expert to come and fix it. Right? That's generally the cycle that happens in our household. Because I don't start with, you know, I think I need help. Now, yeah, it's good if that illustration breaks down. Because if you can fix it yourself, do it. And I'm still of that mindset. I'm going to try to figure it out. But you have to come to a point where you realize, hey, this is beyond my ability. Some things maybe so, some things maybe not. We have to ask. And when we do, I want you to remember this. We do the asking. He does the doing. I'll say that again. We do the asking. He does the doing. In other words, he's the one that works. He says, ask me and I will do it. He says the same thing in verse 14. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. The emphasis is clearly on his work and our behalf. Now, when we ask, he says, ask in my name, which just means that you can pray anything you want and tag in Jesus' name to the end of it and you're good, right? Obviously not. I mean, when we pray, and I often use that phrase, in Jesus' name, but, you know, that's more than just a phrase to tag on to the end of a prayer. To pray in Jesus' name means to pray in alignment with his will, with his character, with who he is. That's what it means, whether you use that phrase or not, that you're trusting in Jesus, you're aligning yourself with his priorities. Because when we don't do that, the Bible is also clear. I mean, God is not some genie in a bottle that's just going to grant us whatever we want. James 4:3 puts it this way, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So if our desire is just, hey, give me, give me, give me for my own sake, that's different from what Jesus says, because verse 13, ask whatever you want in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Good question to ask is, am I asking those things that would glorify God? Am I asking those things that align with his desires? And when we do that, Jesus said, I will answer. He might not answer according to our timetable. He might not do it exactly how we want him to. But we can have supreme confidence, because Jesus said it, that if we ask in his name, that he will respond. He will answer those things that glorify God that he wants to give us already. I give you just an example of this from my own life, because this is a big deal. This is a big deal. That God says, I will answer what you ask in my name. One of the things that I have been asking God for and become aware of recently is the need for patience. And I recently was praying about that, and I had a little experience. I'm laughing with Michael over here because he's a part of my story and didn't know it. But so Monday evening, Sean and I are taking some Amazon stuff back to Kohl's. And when I say some stuff, I mean we literally had a pull cart full of stuff. Yeah, anybody else been there? So we get in the store. There's not a soul in line at the return counter. And we pull over to the side. Michael comes by. He says hi. Goes and gets in line. We're getting our stuff organized, right? Getting all. And then we come in. There's like 5-6 people in line by the time we get there. Every single person had a problem. There was an issue. It was, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It had to have taken at least 20 minutes before we get up there. We're just standing. I mean, it's taking forever. Michael's in front of us. And as he leaves, he says goodbye and then throws in this comment. Well, somebody must have been praying for patience. At which point it hit me. I had not made that connection until that very moment. This morning, I prayed for patience. So that line was my fault. I'm really sorry. And anybody else there, I actually had been praying for patience that morning and the light bulb went off. It's like, okay, yeah, God will answer your prayers, right? When you pray in alignment with his will. Now, how do we know that's in alignment with his will? Because Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If you're not sure where to start, go to that passage where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Any of those things that, patience, that we need more of when we pray. It's like, well, this is what God wants to give me. His word has revealed that already, so we can pray with confidence. How do we pray in Jesus' name, maybe for other people? And by the way, these references and all that are in the online notes. If you're trying to figure out, okay, I want to make sure I get those references, it's there in the online bulletin. But here's a prayer that you can pray over other believers. It's a powerful prayer. And anytime we can pray scripture, man, this, you know you're praying in Jesus' name, in alignment with his will when you're praying scripture. But Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Man, that's some rich stuff right there. Can you imagine parents praying those verses over your children every day? Spouses praying that over your spouse every day? There's power in that, right? We can pray those things that we know align with God's desire. That's how you pray in Jesus' name. But what about praying for those that don't know Christ? And that's one of the things I would highly encourage you to do, is to pray for opportunities. Lord, would you put people in my path that don't know you? And when you do know, you have friends or family members or coworkers or neighbors that you don't know where they stand spiritually, I'm going to strongly encourage you to pray for them by name. Pray that you'll have opportunity to love them well, to develop a relationship, and to share some type of verbal witness with them. But pray that God draws their heart to himself. And just make that a regular part of how you pray. In fact, there's a tool to help you with that. If you noticed when you came in, if you saw these on the seat, that's why. Because then we knew what we were going to be talking about today. We put these in front of you every so often. It's called an impact card, but on the back is a place where you can write the names of three people that you're seeking to impact spiritually. Specifically, I would say the best thing would be people that don't know Christ, like three people that you can pray for opportunity, and you pray for them by name, you seek to share a verbal witness with them, and you invite them to church. It's a simple process. I would encourage you, take these, fill them out, you know, put this card up on your mirror at home or somewhere where you'll see it on a regular basis so that you're just reminded to pray. There's power, guys, in prayer. And speaking of, I know you saw the announcement video earlier, but let me just really encourage you Wednesday night as we come together to pray. I'm going to lead through just a model of prayer. We're going to have some resources to put in your hands, but I'm excited to have a time where we can just pray. That'll be in here this Wednesday at 6:30. But just elevating the priority of prayer, and then that gives us the opportunity to be able to reach our community for Christ. So God does things in us, God does things through us, but God also uses that. Part of praying in Jesus' name is praying that those that don't know him will be drawn to him, because we know God's heart for those that are separate from him. And that's our heart as a church. In fact, that's our theme for 2024, is the word reach. We want to reach our community. We want to reach many, many more people and just let them know about the forgiveness and salvation and eternal life that's available. So we pray. It starts with trust, and then that leads us to pray. But then there's a third thing, and that is that we rely on the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands, which, has anybody ever tried to do that just kind of on your own, in your own ability? It's like, okay, I'm going to be really good. I'm going to try really hard to do everything God says. And my question is, how did that work out for you? Doesn't work so well. We can't do it on our own, but he doesn't stop there. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, when I return to the Father, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to empower you. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:13, it says that having believed, we were marked in him with a seal, this promised Holy Spirit. When we believe, at the point of belief, we receive the Holy Spirit in us. Now, I said a moment ago, Jesus was not omnipresent. He was in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, meaning everywhere all at once. He indwells every believer in this room, and he indwells every believer on the face of the earth. He's everywhere. That's why Jesus said you're going to be able to accomplish so much more, because through the empowering of the Holy Spirit and His presence in us all over the world, it opens the door for Him to do some amazing things. That's the advocate. That's a great term too, isn't it? The advocate, He says, that He will send on our behalf to empower us. Again, to empower those things that are glorifying to God, those things that are in alignment with God's will and His desire. But I just point that out to say this. Yes, we pray. And yes, we depend on Him. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. So the emphasis clearly is on His working on our behalf. But that does not release us from our responsibility to also do our part in obeying His commands, as He says in verse 15. It's He does the work and we do the work. And somehow those are both connected together. But when we do, it's really God doing through us. So we don't just sit by and do nothing, but at the same time, we don't try to do these things in our own ability. Because if we do, it's not going to go well. It's going to get very frustrating if we try to do these things. You know what happens when we try to live out God's truth in our own strength? We get frustrated. We get discouraged. Anybody been there? Anybody maybe is there right now? Maybe even depressed? We begin to feel like, you know, we begin to feel hopeless. Why? Because we're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to accomplish something that God never designed us to accomplish in our own ability. I mean, yes, Jesus says that I want you to obey My commands, but guys, the commands of God, that's a high bar that we are not able to meet in our own strength and our own ability. As hard as we might try, we must depend on the power of God. Well, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Unfortunately, sometimes the Holy Spirit is like a tool that's just left on a shelf somewhere. Yeah, we forget about the Spirit and the power that He wants to bring. But listen to the way the Bible describes the power of the Spirit in us. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. It says, that power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Do you realize that? The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that lives inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Church, I hope this connects that what we're talking about here, the full presence of God is living inside of us. We have the power of God in us. Why in the world would we not tap into that? Why would we just kind of push that off to the side and say, no, I think I can handle it, rather than saying, God, I can't handle it. I can't do it, but I'm asking for You to empower me. I'm asking for You to do big things through me for Your glory. Ephesians 3 tells us that God can do far more than we ask or think. He can rescue that marriage that feels like it's beyond repair. He can soften the heart of that loved one who's running from God and currently has no spiritual interest. He can bring you out of a financial pit when it seems like there's no hope. He can give you the boldness to share His love with that neighbor, coworker, family member. Listen, God can do far beyond what we ask or think according to His power inside of us. You know what that says to me? It tells me we need to dream bigger. It tells me that we need to ask God for bigger things for His glory, not for our own attention or not because I want to receive this, but because we're saying, God, I believe this. I believe that what You said is true. And when God says that You're going to do these things and even greater things, then we need to believe it. My question for you, church, is do you believe it? Are you living as if you believe that? Are you praying as if you believe that? Are you asking God to do great things through you? Or have you bought into the lie that, no, that's for somebody else. That can never be me. Let me just remind you, Jesus said, everyone who believes in Me will do these things and even greater things. So don't sell God short by having small dreams. But say, God, this is what I want You to do in my life and through me so that You can be glorified. Let's pray. Lord, I pray today that you will keep us from just resting and being comfortable and not really stepping out in faith. Lord, our desire, my desire in my own life is that you give me greater boldness, greater opportunities to point people to you. And I pray that for our church in this community. God, would you expand our influence just for one reason, and that is because we want you to be glorified and we want people to come to know you. So Lord, do your work in that way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.